Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. It's Monday, and today marks the unofficial start of football season as SEC Media Days get underway. We have boots on the ground here at the Bar in Auburn, so we'll make sure we have you covered throughout that. But here's your Monday motivation that kind of goes intertwined with that. Every season starts with expectations. Championships aren't won at Media Days. They're won by what happens after everyone stops talking. And that, I point at you and say, whatever you got in front of you this week, don't worry about the finish line today. Just take the very first step. Now, let's catch up on everything you've missed around the barn. ESPN's FPI says Auburn is favored in 7 games this season. Yep, just 7 on paper. That gets the Tigers to a bowl game. But on this week's Top Button podcast on Friday, Charlie Five explains why simply beating the teams you're supposed to beat isn't good enough anymore.
So the pathway to right there, that's 7-5. If you were to win all of the games that you were projected to win, that's 7-5 right there. And I think a lot of people would be happy with that. And I don't know that I would necessarily be upset with it. The only problem is, once again, you lose every single game that you're not expected to win. And to me, where Auburn gets over the hump is not necessarily winning the games you're supposed to win, which that's great, but you got to start knocking some folks off. You got to start going into some people's houses and tearing things up. You got to start going in as a 6 or 7 point underdog and coming out and beating somebody's tail and winning by 10. And I don't know that with the way college football is today, I don't know that time is what helps you get to that point. More time anymore is what helps you get to that point. You got to put together a good roster one way or another in an off season. And then you got to go out there and you got a game plan. You got to have a good plan. You got to execute. It's that simple. To me, the 2 games that take this from a okay season to a great season or a disaster are Florida and Tennessee.
Yeah, I think Kyle hit on the biggest questions surrounding Auburn entering 2026. 7 wins would represent progress. I mean, 5-7 last year was a terrible year, right? But it probably wouldn't change national perception of this program. To take the next step, Auburn has to win a game that nobody expects it to win, whether that is Tennessee, whether that's Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, the Iron Bowl, right? You have to find a way to make that happen. That's how good seasons become memorable seasons. That's how you build confidence in the locker room and credibility across the country, especially with a first-year coach who doesn't have the, dare I say, the famous words, proof of concept. Florida and Tennessee feel like those opportunities. Beat Florida early, you keep your momentum rolling, you go into Knoxville and pull up what should be an emotional upset, and suddenly people start looking at Auburn a lot differently. At some point, look, folks, every program is trying to climb the SEC ladder. You have to stop talking about potential and start collecting signature wins. And I think you have the opportunity to do that week 3 in your SEC opener against John Summerall. If Auburn wants to prove it's truly back, that's the next box they have to check. It's not a Monday unless there's something wild happening, right? Right? How about Christmas in July? Are you all for that? On Friday's deep dive at Village Vice, the live dive, Brad is not. And he heard something on the radio that just did not fit good with him.
I was listening to the radio on the way back from the gym this morning, and I heard an advertisement for a satellite radio channel for Christmas music. Christmas in July, which I get. And whatever you do in your own home is your business. In fact, like my ex-wife and the kids, they do a Christmas in July day every year, which I think is awesome. I think it's really a great in-house thing.
Okay.
But commercializing Christmas in July just gets under my skin a little bit. We already give because it's, listen, we're not, by the way, I love Christmas, birth of our Savior, kind of important, big deal.
Okay. Correct.
But this isn't Joy to the World. This isn't Silent Night. This is Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas is You. I turned over to the channel. I listened to it. I took a video and I sent it to you guys in the group chat.
I know. You sure did.
We already give Christmas two full months. The second the trick-or-treating is over, people break out all the Christmas stuff. It's in all the stores in early October. Doing it in July is wrong. Like, we're not even into fall yet. Even the people who want to do October and put out their fall stuff in late July and early August, you're still closer to the beginning of summer than you are the beginning of fall. It's not time yet. Cut that out. Wait on the time to get here and then go crazy.
Small fun fact about me, the creator, the writer of Silver Bells is the most famous person where in the city that I grew up in Salamanca, New York. Go figure, huh? All right, moving on. Well, on Friday, we also learned Auburn's season opener against Baylor is bringing $6 million NIL to the program. But what if that is just the beginning? On this week's Barnes Social Hour, Graham and Hunter look at why Auburn may be ahead of the curve and why this could become the future of college football.
I think it's something that Auburn could definitely take advantage of here in the future. And I think, you know, this year in particular, they really have. And I think that this could become more common in college sports, predominantly college football. But hey, we're seeing it in college basketball too. I mean, look at the players, you know, the players NIL era, players era tournament. That's an NIL mm-hmm. tournament where yep. they're getting paid to be there. But when it comes to college football more, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, you start seeing more companies, you know, sponsor these big, you know, kind of non-conference, cool, big matchups on week one, and start paying some NIL money to get these games. Cause it's a great way to, you know, advertise your company and mm-hmm. millions of people are going to be tuning in to watch these games. So with the way that, you know, NIL is going and college football is going, I would not be shocked to see that happen. I would not be shocked to see, you know, multiple games, you know, come up a year now, starting at the beginning of the year with, like, you know, you have the AFLAC kickoff, you know, bowl game. And then you might have like a Geico, you know, like, and I'm yeah. just spitting brand names out there for fun, but I think it could happen. And I don't know how I feel about it quite yet. I think I think it could be necessary for, you know, where we are in this day and age, but, you know, it kind of takes away, like we were talking about yesterday's show, that Auburn's kind of ahead of the game a little bit, you know, with playing this, because they're getting paid that extra $6 million when other schools aren't. Mm-hmm. But if this becomes a super common thing, then more schools are getting paid NIL money. And also depends on, like, oh, well this company is paying twice as much as this other company is for a bowl game. So for, you know, a kickoff game. So it's interesting. There's a lot of stuff that would have to go into it to make it work. And to make it, even is not the right word, but, like, you know, like it's right, not like no. super, super lopsided. So it'll be interesting. But I think this year in particular, the Auburn's taking advantage of it in both sports when it comes to football. You know, we're playing in this game, and then basketball, we're going back to the Players Era tournament in Vegas. So mm-hmm. Auburn is taking advantage of NIL opportunities, and I'm here for it.
If companies see the real value in attaching the brand to these marquee kickoff games, there's no reason to think more won't follow. I truly think that this is the start of something new. Hello, High School Musical. Right now, Auburn benefits because it's one of the first programs to take advantage of this kind of opportunity. But if these games become more common across college football, the competitive advantage disappears pretty quickly. So Auburn taking advantage of it now, I think, is so, so worth it. And yes, it sucks. And we'll talk about it again. We talked about it on Friday. It sucks that you're losing a home game. But you have to see the net positives here. I think there are plenty of net positives when it comes to hopefully building the program back in the right direction. Either way, it's another reminder, the business side of college football is changing fast, and Auburn appears to be positioning itself to capitalize on everything they need to before everyone else catches up. The good old adapt or die situation, well, right now, Auburn's ahead of it. They're early adopters. And you gotta love that for a program who has been behind the curve, at least on the field, over the last couple seasons. Could the SEC eventually break away from the NCAA? Could they? I mean, it's possible, right? It's a question that's been gaining momentum for months. And with SEC Media Days beginning today, all eyes will be on Commissioner Greg Sankey. During this week's Barncast Live on Sunday night, Brad explained why he believes the conversation isn't going away anytime soon. And maybe in a few hours, when Greg Sankey speaks, we'll actually get some news.
To be frank, I don't really know if he felt comfortable with the NIL stuff. I don't think he knew what he could or couldn't say, which is fine, but I still don't think he handled that super great from a messaging standpoint. The next thing is, all right, does the SEC need the NCAA? Is the SEC going to break away? And Brad Law is the expert on the SEC breaking away. So taking it to you, Brad.
I just think that right now the Save College Sports Act, everyone is opposing it from the SEC and the Big Ten. We've seen these joint statements from Auburn and Alabama. You've seen other schools in the league make the statements. Greg Sankey and the Big Ten commissioner made a joint statement a few weeks ago that the way it's written ain't going to cut it. And it's got to be completely rewritten. And it's just not going to be completely rewritten. They will not agree to any congressional act. They won't support. I mean, it's the congressmen and women that vote on it, but they won't support any type of alignment where the power is evenly distributed, SEC, Big Ten, and the other conferences. And I think the SEC has enough confidence and enough brand recognition, everything, that whether it's like tomorrow or whether it's a year from now or whenever, the league could go on its own and be totally self-sustaining, make its own rules, compete against itself. Look, I'm not predicting that that's what gets announced tomorrow, but all the eyes of the like college football universe are going to be on the SEC commissioner tomorrow.
Hey, look, whether you agree with Brad's, you know, opinion on this, his prediction or not, it's one thing is clear. College football is changing faster than it ever has been before. NIL, the transfer portal, revenue sharing, recruiting, potential changes to how the sport is governed. I mean, the Protect College Sports Act, that's one thing. All is becoming major turning points in just a few years. And oh, by the way, wait, you know that magic year of 2030 when the media deals start diminishing and change shape and form? If it doesn't happen by then, it certainly will happen then and there. That's why Greg Sankey's comments this week matter, especially on Monday when he has the opening statements at SEC Media Days. Even if he doesn't directly answer the biggest question, which we'll see if he does. We'll see if he doesn't. We'll see if he, you know, plays around and beats around the bush. But every word needs to be analyzed because the SEC continues to set the direction for much, if not all, of college football. Now, we want to hear from you. Do you think the SEC should eventually operate independently? Or is college football better with everyone under the same umbrella, even if that doesn't mean the NCAA is in charge? We know that one. Right now, they don't have any teeth to stand on. So let us know in the comments. That will do it for today's episode. Enjoy the beginning of SEC Media Days. Auburn does not go on the stage until Tuesday, so you'll get one more episode from me before we hear from Golish and the players, but we'll hear from Sankey on today's SEC Media Days down in Tampa. Thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Coffee and Cornbread. War Eagle.